it's time for Oh the Humanities, taking a look at humanities sponsorship, research, and events, scholarship research and events on campus, and sponsorship,
sure.
I'm sure, too, at some point. Humanities.unc.edu for more information on Carolina Public Humanities. And Max Orr joins us here in the studio, as always, on Monday afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And sure, we sponsor Humanities, our Adams Fellows in the Public Humanities. They're being sponsored to do public humanities work. So, yeah, absolutely. Line up, sign up, get involved.
There you go.
I'm doing just fine. You know, today
awesome.
Is February 17th, and you know what happened in 1968 on this day?
I should.
No, there's many things happen, an infinite variety of things. But the one I'm thinking of is that the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame was opened in Springfield, Massachusetts.
I would not have guessed that. Okay.
And here's the crazy thing. Now, it's a wonderful building. I live in Vermont, and you drive down Interstate 91, and you always drive by the Basketball Hall of Fame, and you wonder, why in the world is it in Springfield, Massachusetts? And, of course, Naismith was based in Springfield, Massachusetts, and thus, so it's one of those towns like, you know, Coopersburg and other towns, like, why is it there?
Yeah.
You know,
but Cooperstown, I get.
Cooperstown, yeah. See,
yeah,
I don't even get the name right there. So
because of the whole Abner Doubleday thing. But yeah, you think about, I think about Naismith, and I think about Kansas, where, you know, he actually was when he invented the game.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the connection is, but for some reason it's there. He was either from there. I will do more research. But here's the cool, the reason I picked that one for another reason, because I always pair it with some birthday. Mm-hmm. And on his fifth birthday, this place opened, and that would be none other than Michael Jordan, who in 1963 was born also on this day. So I feel like there's some connection there between Michael Jordan and when he was five. They did the Hall of Fame. They had to build the room already because they knew it was coming.
Of course,
so, exactly.
Yeah. So had it rained that day and they had to push the opening back to the 18th, we would never have heard about Michael Jordan.
No, and absolutely not.
All about this thing.
The synchronicity would have been wiped out. It's also if you follow Green Day, it's Billy Joe Armstrong's birthday. And probably the most important person when it comes to the humanities, it's Paris Hilton's birthday as well. So it makes us think about the human condition, life and death. You know how Paris Hilton makes us do.
Of course,
absolutely.
What year was Billy Joe Armstrong born?
That is a good question.
I'm looking
this up right now. Yeah, I didn't keep that one. I know
1972. Okay.
There you go.
Jordan is older.
Jordan is older. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was up. No, I don't have anything there to correlate those. Maybe it doesn't work out for him, but at any rate.
Yeah.
So, we have a great roster of programs. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, in particular, we have once a month we do our humanities happy hour, and you know, everyone, we get, if the topic is a little grim, we take off the happy, and I'm not sure whether it should be happy or not. We're doing U.S. Latin American relations in the time of Trump with Lou Perez, and something tells me we might be lopping the happy off of that
one
as well.
I feel like maybe, yeah,
but there is a lot to be said about Latin America. First of all, in general, it's kind of an American approach to it, and I'm making big stereotypes about the way Americans think about the world, but Latin America is always one of those ones. We have transatlantic relations, and Latin America is just down there, and we have a Monroe Doctrine attitude about it since 1823. We have the Good Neighbor Policy all through the Roosevelt years, and then, of course, we have the Cold War history of Latin America with a lot of U.S. interventions and sort of turning a blind eye. But, you know, once the Cold War ends, I think a lot of people have just sort of, you know, what's going on in Latin America? And we only hear certain stories, right? Mm-hmm. We only hear the story of Maduro right now in Venezuela, or certainly our relations with Cuba, or maybe Bolsonaro comes up. But this would be an interesting opportunity for us to ask Lou Perez, a director of the Institute for the Study of the Americas, and you know, an expert on especially Cuban history, but all of Latin American history, about what other things we should be paying attention to.
There's also, I think, a very big difference here, and you always hear this said about any foreign policy relationship between two countries that are just at odds with each other or at war with each other, that those are the governments that are at odds with each other, and the actual people of those two countries or those two regions might have a lot in common with each other and might have great relationships with each other. You just have to do it through the lens of the fact that these two governments are in conflict. And I think that might be the case here.
Yeah, I think
I hope that that's the case here, absolutely. Because the two governments are definitely in conflict.
But I think another thing happens with Latin America as well, and that, you know, obviously in the Americas and, you know, and people in South America will always make a point, you know, or in North America, this is all part of the Americas, and there's a lot that we share in terms of, you know, racial heritages coming together, of course, you know, Native American populations, a lot of, you know, this colonialism that was shaken off before the great age of African colonialism and Asian colonialism, but that left a lot of social structures in both in North America and in our own country, as well as in Latin America. So those are all sort of ways that we see ourselves as similar.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, when you think about things like immigration and whatnot, we suddenly have all sorts of ways that, and we think about Latin America as being fundamentally different than the United States. And I think we want to pick at that a little bit in the setting of setting of a happy hour.
Or at least an hour.
An hour, exactly. Or, you know, a humanities hour to kind of get at some of those. And I hope that those will be sort of some of the questions we can understand instead of just the trigger points, you know, like what's going on with Guaido and Maduro. We can get into a little bit of these conversations about where does Latin America fit in the American psyche? You know, it is us, but it also is not us for some people in the United States.
I've got the Carolina Public Humanities website pulled up, and I just glanced over, and I'm only just now noticing that you, in fact, did lop happy off of the humanities hour, it is, in this case, just humanities hour.
I think, in general, that's probably a route we take most of the time. We just know we're going to... But, you know, it is supposed to... It is at a happy hour. You know, and, of course, North Carolina has all sorts of rules about drink specials and whatnot. So we can't offer any special drinks, but we have free food. If not, what could be happier
you
than
you can
free...
offer food specials.
Yes,
just
and
not drink
free
specials,
food
yes,
even. So
even
it's,
there you go.
What could be happier than that? So we think that'll be really interesting for us to get a, you know, sort of delve into that a little bit.
And that's on Wednesday, right?
That's on Wednesday from 6 to 7 o'clock at Back Bar with Lou Perez. Mm-hmm. And again, very knowledgeable. I would just say to the general public, you can ask Lou anything about Latin America, and he will give you a substantive and, you know, detailed answer that will, you know, certainly be illuminating and interesting.
Speaking with Max Orr, Carolina Public Humanities, again, humanities.unc.edu for more upcoming events and ongoing research, including some other things that are happening beyond Wednesday, right?
Absolutely. Well, on Thursday in particular, I want to draw, we're really trying to get this Military Warfare and Society series off the ground. And please, folks, come on by. It's a lecture. If UNC students and UNC faculty can attend for free, we have deals for discounts at the door. And we have Tricia Sullivan coming, who is now the new director of the Triangle Securities Group. I'm going to get the name wrong. Triangle Institute for Security Studies. And Tricia Sullivan is doing really interesting work on the use of lethal aid in foreign, you know, as a means of foreign aid. What does it mean when you give somebody weapons? Mm-hmm. What do you expect in return? What are the risks and rewards for that? And it's been in the news a little bit lately, so we're going to be delving into some of that. And I do hope that we can drive some people to Flyleaf Books at 2 o'clock for that really interesting discussion.
Yeah, and that is one of three events that are going to be coming up throughout the spring, right?
Yes, exactly. So we also have Admiral Dennis Blair, former National Security Advisor for President Obama, former Admiral in charge of the Pacific Fleet, who is now has a gig as a professor in the Peace, War, and Defense curriculum at UNC. We often will bring in a distinguished scholar or someone who's had experience in the military, and they hold a one-year position, a distinguished professorship, a lectureship, and so it should be very interesting. And I really hope people will have an opportunity. If you want to know the relations between the military and civilian affairs beyond this particular topic, he's going to be talking about wars we've gotten into since 1989, or use of military force, not necessarily wars we've gotten into, but use of military force. But I do know that he is very invested in the topic of military and civilian relations, and I do hope we can have a conversation about that and the question and answers, and someone has first-hand experience.
Awesome. So, other things happening that people want to know about?
Absolutely. You know, when we have a really interesting seminar coming up on this Saturday, and archaeology is a really fun subject, and of course people often associate archaeology with, you know, finding monumental buildings or this and that. And what I like what we're doing with this particular one is we're looking at archaeology in ancient societies, new perspectives from Egypt and the Native American South. And I'm thinking in particular, it's going to be a look at pre-Columbian Native American archaeology throughout the South and the Mississippian culture and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And just recently I was looking, I saw something on the one of the television. You probably heard of it.
I've heard tell. Yeah,
it's a different medium.
It's a completely different medium.
It's got distracting images.
It's like it's radio, but less fun, right?
But these reconstructions of the Mississippian culture that are just remarkable, you know, in terms of social organization and large cities and monumental, like the use of the mounds to build temples and whatnot. And, you know, it's just such an interesting thing how cultural ideas about what, quote unquote, I'm putting the big scare quotes are,
right,
about
right.
civilization are, and the notions of how archaeology helps us uncover the past. And these two different societies, ancient Egypt, yes, we know what that looks like. We're putting them together and saying we're looking at the same thing, civilization in the past and how artifacts tell the story of these people who lived, breathed, loved, died, you know, and created stuff.
Not the same, like, monumental buildings. This was a wonder of the ancient world, tallest building in the world, but culture and civilization and.
And so you're balancing out the idea that, oh, look, they did have organized cities and whatnot. You know, like it's
which is fine and all, but yeah, it's everyday life.
It's
yeah.
just an interesting, it's funny how that works. I know that when the walls of the great culture of Zimbabwe were found, that was a huge eye-opening thing for Europeans to say, look, they have walls made of stone, you know, and what I'm hoping to show is like, you know, the depth and complexity of society. Yes, artifacts are discovered, but you're not always looking for the same thing to uncover the same richness.
Yep, absolutely.
Should be very interesting.
Humanities.unc.edu for more information on those and other upcoming events. Max Orr, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.